Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. We're back. That's a good intro, right? We're back?
We're back.
That's brutal. That's like, that's brash, right? We're back.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. We're back, baby. You've missed us. I bet we startled him a little bit. You guys, they're hitting play and all of a sudden, we're back.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I don't hear anything. Is the volume all the way up?
We're back.
We're back. So hopefully you aren't listening to this driving. We made you wreck your car just now.
I was trying to think of a creative way to get in, because I'm usually like, hey, listeners, but I don't know. I guess I'm so excited about this one.
Yeah, startling them was a creative way.
That was. But in all truthfulness, we're back with episode 13 of the Connection Point Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and my other host and good friend, Dr. Irvin, a.k.a. Brad, a.k.a. Bodie McBoatface, a.k.a. Mr. You got a lot of names, man.
So. Yeah. If this is your first podcast you're tuning into,
we're starting
to build up some of the inside jokes. So
and incentives. You want to get on these inside jokes.
It is a dastardly plot to make you listen to the rest of what we've been saying.
Right. So. We do it on purpose, though, man. We got to hook them in. We have been encouraged, though, with our followers and our listeners. It's taken a little bit of time, but we're starting to see more followers and listeners and downloads, and that makes us very happy.
Yes.
That's very encouraging. We've actually got some encouraging messages from some of you guys. That keeps us going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Somebody once asked me, a friend of mine asked me why I don't post on Twitter, because I have a Twitter, but I think I've put like two posts in the last like the 7 years. And I said, well, for me, posting on Twitter is kind of like me shouting into an empty room. So we appreciate you, listeners. You guys are great. I appreciate that you are keeping us from just shouting it into an empty room.
Right. Because there's good stuff. You're not, and not because of us, but I mean, when you're talking theology and scripture, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So hopefully, even if we're bad, you guys out there can be like, hey, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says.
It's not what the Bible says. Call us out, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, call us that. Well, hopefully they don't have to.
The goal is not to teach you that way. The goal is hopefully to teach you with good sound doctrine.
Right, absolutely.
You know, even your, this is a good thing to live by. Even your best and smartest teachers, the most holiest men who ever lived, are still going to have their blind spots. They're still going to have their problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought. We've loved doing this with you guys. We've been going through a lot of theological terms, a lot of good ones, and we have a lot to come, so don't worry. There's not a shortage there. If you guys remember, we have a daily, or I'll say podcast ritual that we do, and that is we pick our topic, and then we go to Freddy's on Monday for lunch, and we eat a good lunch.
Yes, and you remember when tragedy struck last time.
Would you please inform them on that?
So. Last time I had my outline, and when I pulled it out of my pocket, it bumped and fell down between the booth and the wall, and I couldn't get it. So today, I wrote it on a giant piece of really thick paper.
It's not going anywhere.
I thought about taping it to like a big, you know, wooden paddle like the teachers do with the bathroom pass.
Yes.
But I didn't go quite that far. But yeah, I've got it here in front of me today.
He held it on. And that I can attest, guys. I'm looking at the paper. It's the same paper from lunch. It's the same one. But I'm sorry. You guys should have seen the look in his eyes 2 weeks ago, guys. He was crushed. He was so excited and pulled out these notes. Look at my notes. Aww.
But as we were just talking about, when we make mistakes, we learn from them.
We learn from them.
So that we don't make those same mistakes later.
And so after a couple more times, the paper will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And
that's right. So, yeah, when I'm walking in with like a 7-foot by 10-foot cork board and like setting this up on a tripod in the middle of Freddy's.
They might ask a little bit.
Sir,
what
sir.
We're doing. Sir, you got to get rid of the cork board.
Yeah.
Man, you're blocking three booths. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome. It's good to see you guys. We're excited. that you're here. We love giving you little tidbits into our lives. Like, we hope that you learn a little bit about us as people, too, as we're doing life together. We kind of have a running thing. We go out to eat probably twice a week. It's probably what we do.
Talking
about
theology
and church stuff. And, I mean, we're always doing something like that. And we both are like, man, we drink too much pop, right? I mean, that's one of our vices.
Yeah.
Is we drink too much pop. So we had lunch the other day, and we didn't get a pop.
Yeah, I was a good influence. I said I was going to get water
first.
Yep. And you said, you know what? I'm going to do that too.
I'm going to have water too. He was great. So
and we were looking good. Yes. I mean, we were all kinds of healthy.
Yeah.
You know, if you had talked to me then, I'd have been like, hashtag health, hashtag new body, who dis.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you could hear our ab washboard abs, right? Do.
Exactly.
Because we had one water at lunch. So, anyways.
Yeah. Tell them what happened next, Tyler.
Well, we leave the restaurant. We've been so good and healthy, but I needed to fill up my car with gas. And so we get the gas at a quick shop, and I offer to get us drinks. And we got big Dr. Pepper.
Now, I wanted to be healthy. I did, but I don't want to be rude.
You don't want to be rude.
Make him drink his Dr. Pepper alone.
I don't want to do that alone. And when somebody offers you something, man, you take it.
Exactly. You know, that's just charity.
That's just, and you ever heard the phrase that you need to let other people be a blessing to you, you know?
Exactly.
And so you drank that out of being a good friend. But the point is, guys, is we're getting healthy. It's New Year's. The pop didn't count because we didn't have it with lunch. So we've made a lot of progress there. But you guys can be proud of us there. But yeah, we're just filling you in on a couple things since we see you guys every 2 weeks. All right, so we're going through different words. If you guys remember, we started weeks ago in Romans chapter 8, going through the golden chain.
Yep, going through the golden chain.
And we went through some words together. We went through, how about I read the passage first, and then I'll kind of explain where we were going.
So, the reason they call it the golden chain is it's because it's this link of words that talks about how you get to salvation.
Right, yeah, and you put them together, and you've got this whole link of salvation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to begin, I'll begin in verse 28 because I love that verse. And we'll go through it. I'm reading the NIV 84 edition. So that's an okay one. And most of your stuff's going to be ESV today, right?
Yeah, that's normally what I'll use.
That's great. I use that a lot too. That's a great one. But we have this. So Romans 8:28 going on. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Here's where we get to the golden chain. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. We see the links there, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The individual ones being put together. We've got foreknowledge, predestination, called, justified, and glorified. We've covered justification. If you need to, just a quick thing, when we're talking about justification, we're talking about that moment of salvation.
Right.
Being brought from a child of wrath to a child of God.
Yeah.
You're in the courtroom, gavel bangs because of Jesus' blood. It's not a guilty verdict. It's a righteous verdict all because of Christ.
So right. You are justified.
You are justified. Bam. Done. So if you need to listen to the podcast on that, you can go back, and if you're coming down on this episode, we might encourage you, maybe pause this episode and go back, and you'll see kind of where we started in that.
It would probably be helpful to kind of have it built up,
yeah,
but
just,
I mean, it's also at the beginning of the Golden Chain, too, so I mean, you could probably listen to this one and then go back, too.
So you can either listen to my advice or Brad's advice.
Yeah, if you go back... you'll know why Tyler keeps calling me Bodie McBoatface. That's not just his special pet name for
That's
me.
Valuable.
Yes.
I think they should. That's good stuff. If you're curious about that, yeah, go back. But we want to complete that chain, right? I mean, so we talked about justification. We talked about sanctification, which isn't explicitly listed in the golden chain.
Yeah, it takes place in between the justification and the glorification.
The glorification.
Yeah.
But it was a necessary thing that I think we needed to cover.
Sure. Yeah. So justification is a point, and glorification is a point, and sanctification is the road in between them.
Road in between. And it's God working in our lives to make us more Christ-like. This whole journey, Brad, you again, you thought I said it. I think you said it. But just picture justification as buying the house and sanctification as remodeling the house. You know, it's a good it's a good illustration. I'm pretty sure that was you, man. So just take credit for it.
Okay.
Just take credit for it. It's a good one.
Okay. Well, as we know, when you offer me things, I can't say no. So.
Like the Dr. Pepper. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. So we covered justification. We talked about sanctification. Glorification. We even addressed glorification. Yep. In there. So again, we kind of started in the middle of the golden chain.
And then we kind of took some detours for a while. You know,
Good stuff.
Yeah, we talked about abortion.
Right, timely there.
Yes. What was our one last week?
Christmas, man.
Hypostatic union. How can I forget that?
We went really as deep as we could with our basic plan of 90-minute limit on our basic plan for the podcast. But submission and union in the Trinity, which was a really good one.
Yeah.
So they're all good. But what we're wanting to do is kind of go back and finish kind of what we started.
Yeah, we kind of got together and talked about, okay, where do we go from here?
Right.
We have plenty of ION words.
Right.
And we kind of realized that we'd left the golden chain unfinished.
Right. And any listeners that are listening, ION words, kind of our catch is a lot of these words end in ION. It's kind of our thing. But we're kind of finding that we have a lot to talk about that maybe doesn't end in ION. So you might see those start being put in. But we're here to talk about theology, aren't we?
Yes.
And God and all those things. But we're going back, guys. We're going back to this golden chain. And we come to the word predestination.
Yes.
Right? And I'm not going to lie. When we were doing the golden chain, I was just a little hesitant with predestination. It wasn't something I was quite ready to come on a podcast and do. So, but we're coming back to it, and it's good. And what we're going to talk about today is great. It is beautiful. It is comforting.
And we kind of talked before. There are some people that will hear the word predestination and immediately shut off.
Right.
And we hope that's not the case.
So don't get off here.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
If you are the type of person that doesn't like to talk about predestination, I don't think that that our podcast today will be completely useless to you.
Yeah, so. Right. There's good things and some very comforting things. I think as we get all, you're going to find a lot of comfort in today.
Yes.
I would hope. In that.
Yes,
so.
And you know, it's in the Bible multiple times. This isn't exclusively to the golden chain. We're going to go through some of those verses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for better or for worse, unless you're just going to ignore huge swaths of the Bible, you have to have a grasp of what this word means and how God uses it when he's giving us his word.
Absolutely. And this isn't a made-up word either. I mean, when we go back to the literal translations, whether it be a Hebrew, Greek, Old, New, the word's predestination is there for us. So,
you know what's my favorite made-up word in the Bible?
What's your favorite made-up word?
And so apparently this is, you might know this better because you've been to seminary, but it's back in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
And apparently when you repeat the word, it makes it more so.
Okay.
So like when they say God is holy, holy, holy.
Sure.
It means when you say it three times, it's the most.
Okay.
Yeah, there's this one where they repeat it and the word is pit.
Pit.
And I don't remember what it translates. I think they translate it as tar pits. Mm-hmm. But if you take the literal translation, it's the pittiest pits. Because they say it's like pit, but they say it twice. So it's a pittier pit.
It's a pit. They did not teach me that. They did not teach me that in seminary.
Yeah, I love that. This is an especially pity pit.
So man, there, found yourself.
Yeah,
I'm in a really dark, piteous.
Yeah, that's my favorite made up word is the pity pits.
Okay, well, if we're ever at lunch or something, and I'm asking how you're doing, and you just say I'm in a pity pit.
Yep.
Oh no, you're down pretty good.
Yeah. So there's your Hebrew lesson for today. If you when you repeat the word, it means. More so.
Right. Just repeat it.
Yeah, so after we had got done having our drinks, you'd be like, look at those fat fats.
Meaning really, really fat.
Yeah. And yes, that in, oh man, I'm going to have to go find where it's at now, but there is a place in the Bible that talks about pity pits.
Yep. Disclaimer though, being a worship pastor, I don't like those songs that repeat the same phrase 17 times in a song that's all we sing. So Little different there, right?
Well, yeah, that's why the limit is three.
The limit is three. Anything else, man?
Yeah, in Hebrew, it doesn't go past three. Biggest you get. So. That's why God is holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know?
And three is a number of completion, too, and all stuff, too. So that works out good. All right, back on track.
Yeah, that was helpful for you.
If you guys know us, you know you're going to chase a lot of rabbit trails with us. But we appreciate you doing that. Predestination.
Yes.
We can define that as...
So I would start with...
Okay,
so
go ahead.
The question you ask, the question that predestination is the answer to is, does God know the future?
Does God know the future?
So start. That's where you start with this.
Okay.
Does God know the future? And there's not a lot of people that are going to say anything other than yes.
I definitely not a professing believer.
Right.
I don't see how that can be.
I think that question, the answer is going to be yes for anybody that would be within Orthodox Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And by Orthodox, I don't mean Greek Orthodox.
Greek Orthodox. Yes.
Yeah, by Orthodox, I mean those that we would consider within the bonds of brotherhood, even though there might be disagreements on important things.
Sure, yeah. So, does God know the future? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so... And
exhaustively, we would say.
Absolutely.
There aren't things that God doesn't know about the future.
Right.
And that's where the interesting discussions start then
right.
after that.
And that's what we're getting into. God is not a God of audibles. Like when I play Madden football on the PS3 with my brother or something, mm-hmm. and I'm playing defense and he's playing offense, and I see something that I didn't expect to happen. I call an audible, right? I try to change things to adjust to what's going on.
Right.
God's not like that. So he's not up in heaven seeing, let's take the pandemic for example.
Yeah.
God didn't see this. So he's calling an audible trying to scramble. He knows all those things.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing takes him by surprise.
Yeah. And I like to say God is also not psychic.
Right. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you're asking about how does God know the future, mm-hmm. We would not say that God is psychic. God
crystal ball.
Yeah. God didn't see us drink water and then go, look, you know, put his finger to his forehead and go, nah. I see in the future. You know, he's not Johnny Carson that's holding it up against his turban head. And,
right.
And looks, he says, oh, I see that they are actually going to do that. No, God. God doesn't have to look into the future, one, because he's already there.
Sure. That time's not an element with it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is where I would say God knows the future because he causes it to happen.
Okay. And that's where we get into predestination.
Yes. And so that's where we're going to get into the some of the stickier parts where you're going to have faithful brothers in Christ that might disagree on not necessarily what the word means,
mm-hmm.
But how it works when applied to Bible verses.
Its implications, the implications of that. Like they're okay with the God knowing the future.
Sure.
What does that imply, though?
Sure.
And so predestination, God's foreordaining of the events to come.
Yes.
I mean, and yeah. All events.
Yeah, and I think everyone would agree with mm-hmm. that. That's what predestination is God's foreordaining of events to come. That's a really, it's a good definition.
Sure, yeah. And we would say that everything, he knows the future by divine decree. He knows the future because he has decreed that this is what's going to take place.
Yeah, God's not just a passive passenger mm-hmm. along, he's not riding his boat along the stream of time mm-hmm. and trying to row to get to a certain way. He is directing the stream of time. He is the Lord of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Including time and everything that happens. If you want a good example of this in the Bible, you go to the end of Isaiah. I think it starts at it's around 30 and it goes to 50. I might have talked about this before too. It's a really cool part of the Bible.
Even if you had, bring it on,
it's
man.
It's called the Trial of False Gods.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's just so good.
And it's where
chills.
Yeah, God just starts smack talking, like the idols and big gods.
Right.
And one of the things he says is. Do you know the things that have happened and the
right.
things that will be?
Right.
Can you tell their purpose?
Right.
The implication being, I am the true God and I can.
Right.
And these blocks of stone and wood cannot do that.
Absolutely. You're going to hear pages rustle because I'm looking for, I read one of those verses at church on Sunday, man. And Isaiah, as we were kind of getting our call to worship. But he, again, mocking the part. do something. That's what he's telling these false gods. Do something so I know you're legitimate. Say something good, say something bad, just so that we know you're, you know.
Yes, this is God winning an epic rap battle with every every
it's a mic drop. I mean, after these chapters, just picture a mic drop, right?
Well, not just a mic drop, like he drops it and then he punts it.
And Ethan, you know, just how he makes fun of that the idols are fashioned out of materials that God made in his sovereignty, right? So, I mean, it's like a wooden idol here, but it's made out of the wood that God created out
and
of nothing.
Yeah, he talks about that in there, like, oh, look, here's a guy that he goes and chops down this tree, and he makes himself an idol with part of it, and the other part he makes himself a
wood to make his meal or something.
Yeah, you know? Something like that. I mean,
but the point is that idols can't do anything, and God has divinely decreed all that happens, good, bad, hard, easy, all of that is within God's divine decree.
Yeah, and so you can see this in different places throughout the Bible. So when Joseph's talking to his brothers,
great one.
They're scared of him. They think he's going to hurt them because he's the boss of Egypt, and they were less than kind to him earlier.
Man.
And he says, you know, what you did was evil.
Right.
I know that even though you meant this for evil, I know that God meant it for good.
Right.
God is able to use this evil that they were doing and is actually using that to bring about much more and better good than anyone could have imagined.
Absolutely. So we can say that God predestined the events that would lead to the saving of Egypt in the famine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all part of that. Again, not an audible, right? It's not like the brothers just acted out and God's saying, okay, we'll scramble together. We'll put the pieces in. I'm gonna make this work. Trust me, I'm gonna make this work. This is how God declared what's gonna happen, and was in control of how it happened. Everything in between.
Yeah, and people will. There's a lot about this is very comforting. Do you have the verse from Jeremiah up?
Oh, when he selected Jeremiah as a prophet?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me go to Jeremiah chapter 1.
Okay, because I didn't write that one on our board. But
talk for a second.
Sure. So, you know, another one. So we have 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So this is a very comforting thing when you hear people talking about, you know, listen, when God was separating the seas from the sky, when he was laying down the foundations of the earth, he knew you and he loved you already. That is an amazing thing that God knew you and loved you in eternity past and will continue to do that in eternity future.
He's so solid.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so faithful and good. Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Jeremiah just a child at this time when he says this. So the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, or I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, ah, sovereign Lord. I love how he calls him sovereign Lord there.
Yeah.
Ah, sovereign Lord. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child.
Yeah. So when you hear people talking about God has a plan for your life.
Yes.
He does.
Absolutely.
And this with God being sovereign, this plan can't be thwarted. This is something that, you know, some people that are very dear to me have talked about before, that they, you know, they grew up kind of thinking, I have to be really careful or I'm going to mess up God's plan.
Hmm.
If I leave at the wrong time, I might miss somebody that I'm supposed to evangelize to, and so I can't ever be late anywhere.
Right.
Uh-huh. And just this underwriting fear that I'm going to do something wrong and I'm going to cost somebody their salvation by me goofing up, or I'm going to ruin God's plan that he has for my life. I might, you know, miss my husband or wife because I did something this one day that was wrong.
And that's, they don't need to think. That's a disheartening way to think. It's not, but it's also, let's call it out, that's an arrogant thing too. I mean, even if they're not meaning to be arrogant, that we have the power to thwart God's plan, you know?
Yeah.
We don't. So,
yes.
But yeah, I get that. And Brad, you know, so I've been here in Salina. I came in 2020, was in Dodge City from 12 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I wrestled with was when I felt God was calling us here, am I leaving too early? You know, am I ruining what God has set, you know, for that. And I really came to a place that, no, I mean, what God was calling us, we follow. But just a comforting thing to know that, that God was in control of all that situation.
You yeah.
know, he had purposed us to be in Dodge for 8 years, and he's purposed us to be here.
Yeah.
I hope for the rest of my life, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just comforting to know that all, even those days, in my uncertainty, God has always been certain in those things.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say, so it is good. The flip side of that is, it is you should know what God mm-hmm. commands you to do. You should know your Bible.
Yep.
Because there are different ways that you can do God's will. You can do God's will as Peter, or you can do it as Judas. Mm. You don't want to be the Judas.
Don't be a Judas
in this scenario.
Right, yeah.
So you can do it as Jeremiah mm-hmm. Or Isaiah, who were brought before, you know, with Isaiah brought before the heavenly host and given a you know, a special assignment there. Or you can be Jonah, who tries to disobey, gets to spend 3 days in a fish, and then is used as an object lesson sure. later on.
And God's will is still done.
Yeah.
Regardless of obedient or disobedient.
Yeah.
So avoid the whale.
Yeah. Jonah thought he was thwarting God.
Right.
Jonah
yeah.
thought, I'm going to get away from what God wants me to do. Not only did he not get away from what God wanted him to do, Jonah was the sign that God was the only sign that was given to the Israelites about Jesus' resurrection.
Right.
So the only sign that will be given to you is the sign of Jonah,
right.
which is in the fish for 3 days.
Right.
So God wasn't caught by surprise that mm-hmm. Jonah was like, ha, Tarshish instead.
Again, right. And
yeah.
It is amazing that the whale, 3 days in the whale, is a foreshadowing, a type of Christ 3 days in the tomb.
Yeah.
And it came in his disobedience, still got accomplished. But we want you guys to avoid being swallowed by fishes in life.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes. Oh, yeah. Another example. God was not startled when Tyler yelled, I'm at! Right at the beginning of this. So.
I might have startled you, but God knew clearly that we were back.
Yes.
And he knew that I was going to be overly excited and yell, I'm back.
Yes. So. And he will use your screaming, I'm back, at you for his divine purposes. Hopefully not to call any of you home.
Right? I hope that would... I'm back. Oh, cars were... I'm sorry about that, guys. I just showed you how excited I am to be with you guys. But so we've got this divine decree, our predestination. We do... And especially here, get to the issue of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where, and I've talked before, this is kind of where I hesitated a little bit to bring on
yeah.
Predestination, because it was, it's just, there's some implications that we have to talk about.
Yeah.
And so, I do encourage you, in 2 weeks we're going to do election.
Yeah.
And so we want to kind of keep those apart, because there's a line that can be blurred. With those a little bit, as
yeah,
far as
and we'll blur it a little bit. It's you're gonna have connections between things, and those two especially. But
right.
We're trying to kind of keep them separate a little.
Keep them a little separate. But the golden chain, we know Brad is talking about salvation. I mean,
yeah.
he's talking about the redemption. So we have to include predestination in there.
Yes.
We've got strong Reformed 5-point Calvinists and.
That would be me. Yes,
that would be you. So
yes,
it's so incredible to talk to you about these things and to hear. And then you've got myself. I don't know what you call me, man. You know,
Reformed-ish.
I wrestled. You know, and I think we let them know that on when we were talking about exclamation to Palestine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I wrestle a little bit with these things. And
well, and I wrestled with them. I don't. You know,
sure.
It's not like I never wrestled with them. I just have made my peace, and I feel like I can, the only way I can be consistent walking through the Bible is to come from that perspective.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And I think I told you before, I respect your heart and your desire for consistency all across the whole Bible. I appreciate you for that.
You're trying to get me to go get some pop with you again, aren't you? You're just trying to sweet talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to butter you up, man. But it's just, if you know Brad, you can just respect his heart. Yeah. And I just...
See, that's how you can tell he drinks so much pop. It's because he's so sweet.
I'm so, hey, thanks, man. So let's talk a little bit about so what we're concentrating on today, hear us out, is we want you to take comfort in the fact that nothing is outside of God's decree. And that's incredible. But let's talk about a little bit this invocation of predestination and salvation. From where you're at, explain the role of predestination and salvation.
Sure. So you're going to have the first side,
right?
Which is God predestines those that are going to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And that's really not for, I would say, a big majority of people.
Mm-hmm. You say it's not the majority of people.
Well, no, it's not a problem. Yeah, that's
sure.
not going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The, God knew me before I was born, and he called me, you know, blessed me with his grace, and he, you know, pulled me out of here. It's a very easy thing for us to.
I think you get a lot of people on
there.
That.
You're Galatians 1:15-16. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me.
Right. And Paul's talking about God and what he did in his life.
Right.
Yeah. If you want, is that Acts chapter 9?
No, that's Galatians.
Yeah, but Paul's conversions at Acts chapter 9.
Possibly.
Yeah, but anyways.
I should know that.
I know.
I think so. It's either 8 or 9.
It is. Paige is wrestling. But just that's a great example of God's will. You will follow me on the road. But
yeah. The idea that God is before the foundations of the world has this people that he knows and loves and is calling to. Service is calling to be foreknown and predestined and justified and sanctified and glorified.
Acts chapter 9, yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's very comforting. Mm-hmm. The flip side of that coin is when you talk about, so the word I would use is reprobation. Mm-hmm. And it's a fancy way of saying, if someone who's reprobate is somebody that's going to hell, somebody
sure.
that persists in rebellion against God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that justification never takes place.
Yeah, and the question, we asked the question at the beginning of this, does God know the future?
Uh-huh.
So when we talked about some of the implications of this, okay, if God knows the future before the world began, God knows everything that's going to happen before the foundations of the world that have even been set, mm-hmm. does he know what people are going to end up in hell? And if so, why is he making those people? If God knows that somebody is going to hell, before he even creates them, why does he go ahead and create them?
Mm-hmm.
And, a term that you will hear used for this is double predestination,
right.
Which I feel like is a silly term. It's not, well, you have one predestination and then you have another predestination.
Mm-hmm.
I think that both of those are one predestination. Predestination is for everything. And so if you're uncomfortable or you're going to try to deny that second part, then you're going to have half a predestination.
So just to clarify, and I know where you stand, but just for our leaders, you would say that God predestines those to heaven, and he does predestine those to hell.
Yes. There would be some nuance to that okay. position.
Uh-huh.
I would say that there is not... that God's will cannot be thwarted.
Mm-hmm.
That if God wants you in heaven, you will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing that can stop him from doing that.
Sure.
And I believe the same way that Joseph and his brothers were both doing God's will, one righteously and some unrighteously,
mm-hmm.
That your elect, mm-hmm. We'll talk about election later, the chosen people of God, who God gives the gift of grace and mm-hmm. And faith and salvation, that those people are a picture of God's mercy,
uh-huh.
And that your reprobate are a picture of God's justice.
Sure.
And so it gets difficult to talk about, and it's very easy for people that are not familiar with some of the nuances to have me to sound like I am saying something I am not.
Sure.
I would not say that God is the source or the author of evil.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to clarify that if somebody is hearing that's what I'm saying.
Yes. I think that I would take a, I don't know, I don't want to say softer stance, but mm-hmm. I guess kind of my thoughts is, and we're going to talk about election next week, and it's clear, the Bible says that John 10, you did not choose me.
Yeah,
I
you didn't choose you. Me, I chose
and
you, yeah.
I believe that. God chose me. When it comes to single and double predestination, you kind of expressed that you think that's a silly
term. Yeah, you
term.
Can use the term, yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
right. What I believe is that there's a God has chosen us, but those who are not, because the reality is not everyone's saved, right? I mean, that's just reality.
Yeah.
People are going to hell. That God has just, I don't want to say handed them over to their rebellion. So mm-hmm. they're in rebellion and they just, God has left them to that to continue. That's their heart's desire, and they continue in that rebellion and never are justified. Rather than saying that God intently creates someone for the purpose of hell, am I being silly? I'll tell you. I think that's what I believe. That's what I believe. Trying to be scripturally sound.
And I you the question I would ask. You know, you or somebody else that's talking with that is okay. What is God's purpose behind that person? Uh-huh. When he made that person, is like you said, God's not being caught by surprise.
Right.
If he knew they were going to end up there, why would he still make them? Mm-hmm. What is his purpose behind that? And is that person thwarting his purpose? If there's anybody listening that was in my apologetics class, this mm-hmm. was one of my angry atheist. He said, you know, oh, does God love me? And, the people said yes.
Yes.
And he said, well, good. I'm going to thwart him. I'm going to spit in his face, and I'm going to keep something he wants away from him.
Sure.
And I will have beaten the God of the universe as I laugh as I go down to hell.
Sure. And I didn't have an answer to that when mm-hmm. you first talked about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I go to Philippians chapter 2, mm-hmm. and it says that every knee will bow down, every tongue will confess in heaven and under the earth that mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord. So even those who go to hell, isn't God still getting what he wants? It's a matter of location here. So I believe that the end game is God's glory. I mean, that's the end game. He's still going to get that, even from those in hell. So really, is it any thwarted plan, as we see in Philippians 2, that God's still going to get all the glory. Now, it's either going to be in the tortures of hell, and it's going to be the worst realization ever for them, or it's going to be in glory in heaven.
Yes, and I would agree with that.
Okay,
that,
so I'm not answering your question very well then.
Yeah, every knee would bow and every tongue will confess, but they're also doing God's will. You know, so the same way the Jonah being disobedient, mm-hmm. God was still using that to represent a point, basically.
Uh-huh.
He's going to use that as the picture for Jesus in the tomb.
Uh-huh.
God is going to use the disobedience of the reprobate person, the person that will ultimately die in rebellion to the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He's going to use that to illustrate his justice. While that person is justly getting what they deserve mm-hmm. For following the sinful and wicked inclinations of their heart.
Sure. But can they really say, use the argument that if they go to hell, that they really stole one away from God? I mean, can you use that argument when he's still going to get the glory?
No.
And I know you're not using that personally. This is one an atheist uses.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say no.
Yeah.
I would say you can't thwart God in this.
Uh-huh.
You may think you can keep something away from him that mm-hmm. he wants, but you can't. And I probably don't want to go too far down this. I think this is probably going to be a better discussion for when we get to election. But
stay tuned.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you look at Romans 9. I think Romans 9 is the gives you the answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it down at 15, I think? For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy,
right.
and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So that it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy.
Uh-huh.
For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's talking about how Pharaoh, when he's... if you go back and you read the story of Moses and Pharaoh and the
right.
plagues.
Exodus is a good where you go for that.
Pharaoh yep. keeps getting his heart hardened.
Right.
It talks about God hardening his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is explaining why God was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because God's showing his glory. He's showing his mastery over not just Pharaoh, the fake false gods of Egypt, and how he will ultimately protect and sustain his people Israel.
Sure, yeah.
And then it goes on in 19, you will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, a man, to answer back to God? What is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make mm-hmm. one for the same, one out of the same lump, one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use?
Mm-hmm.
What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?
Mm-hmm.
And so that I would say that is the answer to your question of why that's happening. And how even somebody that thinks they might be thwarting God, you're not.
You're not right.
Yeah,
you're not thwarting God's plan. That's still it's hard.
Very hard.
You know that's hard. And again, where we wrestle some. So we're just kind of going back between a single and double predestination in there.
And I think no matter because I would assume that there's going to be a probably even a majority of the people that are listening right now would be in the future probably wouldn't be listening to what I'm saying right now and say, oh yeah, I think that's where mm-hmm. I'm at.
Sure.
I think this is something that you're going to have to be able to answer if you want to be effective in your ministry, evangelism, and I think if you want to grow deeper in a knowledge of God and who he is and what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some different ways that people have answered this question throughout the years, too.
Yep. And especially when we're talking about the problem of evil,
mm-hmm.
Again, we do not agree that God is the author of evil. I think that the presence of evil reveals necessary things about God, his justice and his righteousness and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That evil is again part of how God reveals his complete self. But what we have when we're, we're kind of getting into the other views
here. Sure.
Is there anything else you want to, don't get caught up in this single and double. Next week we're going to talk about election.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth.
Yeah. We gave you some verses for the good side.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got 2 Timothy 1:9, you've got Galatians 1:15-16, where it's saying, you know, I knew you and you were chosen before the foundation
mm-hmm.
of the world
mm-hmm.
To spread the gospel. You've also got verses on the other side. So if you go to 1 Samuel 2:25, it talks about Eli's sons.
Who were serving as
right.
priests.
Yeah, it says, but they would not listen to the voice of their father. Because it was the will of the Lord to put them to death.
Uh-huh.
This was a predetermined outcome for mm-hmm. them. You can see this again in 1 Peter 2:7-8. And he's quoting Isaiah 8:14 in this passage. So the honor is for you. Sorry, I'm trying to read. I'm squinting and trying to read my writing. He's laughing at me because I just made him a Mr. Magoo face.
He had his notes on a board and he can't read. Can you not read it because the handwriting's bad?
I feel like I left part of it out.
So
the honor is for you who believe. There it is. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I did leave part of it out.
Do we want to go? Do you want to go there? Do we need to go to the Bible? You want me to
switch? Oh yeah, if you got it up.
Okay, I'm going to 1 Peter 2.
Because it's talking about those. But for the, it's a. I think there's a for those that don't believe in there.
Okay, we'll get it.
So 1 Peter 2:7-8.
Okay.
but the main part at the end is they stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do.
Sure.
What you got?
1 Peter 2, starting in 7.
Yep.
Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe,
yep, that's
there you
it.
Go. The stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for.
Yep. So, yeah, the reason he was laughing is because I realized halfway through reading that I was missing part of it, and I looked like he just woken me up at 3 in the morning and told me I was late for kindergarten.
That's exactly what I did, yeah. So
I would say, and there are, I wrote a whole list of verses down here for both sides and places sure. You can go. We don't want our podcast to be just Brad and Tyler read you the Bible the whole time.
Right. Which actually, that means if we just read the Bible, we're not messing anything up.
Yeah, that's true.
But can we go back to that verse real quick though?
Yeah.
Just for a moment, because there's a verse that says they stumble because they disobey the message.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also what they were destined for.
Yeah, as they were destined to.
As they were destined mm-hmm. for. Again, I'm just trying to process things here as we're talking about. Let's go. We talked about how I more would defend that those who don't believe, God has just handed them over to that, and that's what they're destined for. So I would almost want to make the same argument here where I think you're making the argue is. They have been predestined to disobey. That's been mm-hmm. decreed for them to act this way. Is that sure. what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And I would make more of the argument. I see it as they are stumbling, they are disobeying, and it says what they are destined for. They're just being handed over to what they're already doing, the implications of what they're doing.
Yeah. So, and I would answer that I would say everybody is in that state.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not going, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one fallen to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Mm-hmm.
That there's none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody, right. You're not going to be able to do anything good. And so those that disobey the word, that's going to be all of us.
That's our natural state, absolutely.
Yeah, and the only way you get out of that is by with the supernatural changing with the justification
sure.
And so when it's saying they disobey as they were destined to do, yes, they were already in that state, mm-hmm. and God is reaching in for your, you know, your ones we talked about at the beginning, for your Pauls, mm-hmm. he's pulling them out. You know, Paul was right. hunting down Christians.
Right.
God supernaturally changed his heart.
Right.
And sent him on the new job.
Right.
And Paul recognizes this several places throughout. I don't remember which one. I think there's several places in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the beginnings of several of the epistles.
Mm-hmm.
You're still not catching God by surprise. I wouldn't disagree what you're saying about that verse.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you're necessarily at odds with what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good, man. And again, like I said, when we get to election next week, we'll be, or 2 weeks, I say next week, every
yeah.
2 weeks,
yeah.
You know, we'll get on that. But let's take away what we're taking away, and then let's get to our other views for a little bit. But
sure.
Predestination, God for ordaining all the events in history, he does the question we ask, does he know the future? Absolutely, 100% he does. Why does he know the future? Because he has decreed what yeah. shall come to pass for all eternity.
Yes.
And so take heart in that even in your struggles and your troubles and the hard times in life and where there are things that are really hard, you're not outside of God's providence and sovereignty. You're not outside of his decree and his will. I mean, everything is working for your good and his glory, as it says in Romans 8:28. So take yeah. encouragement from that.
Yeah, and you can't mess that up.
You're not that powerful.
Yeah, God's will is not a cosmic Easter egg that you have to really work hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
God's will is plainly laid out for you. And I would also say is in inviolable. Is that how you say it?
I'm not even sure I know what that means, man.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm saying it right, so...
You're making up a term?
Yeah, I'm not making it up. It's a real one, but...
Involuble?
Yeah. Involuble, like it cannot be changed. I'll have an answer for you guys next week.
Hey,
I'll look that up to make sure.
That is your hook. We found our hook.
Yeah.
To get you to listen next week. What in the world is involuble?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes. Is it actually a word? Is Brad pronouncing it right?
They're all going to dictionary.com right now.
Yeah. God's will is not something that you're going to be able to change or mess up.
Yeah.
If you are diligently seeking after God, if you're reading your Bible, you're you're praying, mm-hmm. you're active in your church, you're serving the less fortunate and the needy. The more and deeper you're growing closer to God, the more you're going to recognize who He is and how He is working in your life. Mm-hmm. The more you're going to be able to serve God as a Peter and less as a Judas, or a Jonah.
Right, right, absolutely. And we save a little heartache there to be a Jeremiah, not a Jonah.
Yeah, you can love God and not know your Bible, and you can still serve the kingdom of God, but you're going to be much more likely to be spending several days in a fish than if you had known your Bible and knew not to disobey God in the first place.
Right, and if God has laid things on your heart and your family's lives, and you're fighting it, it's a futile fight, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah.
It's futile, and it's going to wear you out, and God is
not good. Only will you not win, God will take everything that you have been trying to fight and will use it for His purposes as well.
Just my encouragement is surrender to the lordship of God. He's good.
Yeah. Why do the nations plot in vain?
Why do they plot in vain? Right.
And what's the second part of it is God sits in heaven and laughs at mm-hmm. at human plans, basically.
Sure. Right. And you got to think, these nations, some of them have some pretty intricate plans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but man, God's will, His decree, it won't be thwarted. So rest into that. So we're at the 50-minute mark here. Let's talk about some of these other views that we have.
Sure. We'll start with what I would say is probably the worst one.
The worst one,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're not a fan of any of these, are we?
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man.
Yeah.
At least I'm looking at a cheat board. Two out of the three, I'm with you, man.
So the first one's called open theism.
Right.
And these are people that would say that God does not know the future. Mm-hmm. That God might have an exhaustive knowledge of the present and the past, but that He can't know what's going to happen in the future, mm-hmm. Because since human beings have free will, He can't predict what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And
so He's constantly moving, putting, as time is unfolding, He's constantly putting
right.
things together
he's
make
adjust,
his plan.
Yeah, he's adjusting.
Good,
yeah, he's,
good word, adjusting.
Like you said, calling audibles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because He has to. Now, he might be very good at predicting.
Sure.
He says, if I stick this convenience store here, I bet I can get Tyler to drink this pop.
Yes, that's a high chance.
yep.
Open theists, do they acknowledge the sovereignty of God? Because He's still working and carrying out things. He's just happened to do it on a day-by-day basis.
And this is going to be an issue that will come up again and again and again when you're talking about theology. They would acknowledge the sovereignty of God, but they would use a different definition.
Okay.
Defining your terms is paramount.
Absolutely.
When you're talking with somebody about theology,
mm-hmm.
and knowing the way different views will use different terms too. Mormons, good
Mormon,
example.
Yeah,
of this.
I think we've talked
about this
right.
before.
Yeah.
Terms you would think that you would have in common.
Mm-hmm.
So a term like God.
Sure.
A Mormon is going to use the word God and have a different definition for it mm-hmm. than we would.
Glorification.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so there are, you can be talking with a Mormon, you really think you're getting somewhere and that you're on the same page, and all of a sudden they're somewhere you had no idea how they got there at all, and it's because they're using different definitions for their words.
So
open theist.
What's their definition of sovereign?
Yeah, they would see it's much more likely to it's much more similar to an earthly king.
Mm.
So you would say a king is sovereign over his domain,
right?
But he doesn't control the wills of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He has no control over that. He can. There are things that he can order, but there are still things that are outside his domain,
mm-hmm.
Or outside not his domain necessarily, but outside of his power to control.
Mm-hmm.
And your open theist would say that that's the case for God, because of the nature of free will.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's worth noting, open theism is expressly forbidden as a stance you can hold as a member of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be an open theist and be a pastor a member in good standing
sure.
of a Southern Baptist church.
And rightly so.
Yeah. So that's, like I said, this is, and trying to defend this in any way with the prophecy throughout the Bible, it just falls apart.
Sure.
It's just impossible to do. And there's too many areas, the trial of the false gods, where God is saying, I am the Lord. I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think we tossed out five verses here that said, hey, he knew this was going to happen.
And there's hundreds more.
But yeah, yep. He had planned this before the foundations of the world.
And you're hearing us say the word free will. I think next week we can expand more on ins and outs of free will.
Yeah. So here's a fun one for you guys, a hook for next week. Brad the super reformed 5-point Calvinist does believe in free will.
He does.
So so this is
what?
And this will be a very important thing of defining your terms. So find out why next week.
Good hook. Okay, so open theism.
Yeah,
so
open theisms believe that God doesn't
audible know the future. after audible, still getting things done, but he's limited. So he's not omniscient. He's not what about omnipotent? How would they? Because they can't say omniscient. They're going to have to.
They would say omnipotent, and that he can control the weather or your earthquakes or. Mm-hmm. Different things like that. Depending on who you're talking to, they might say he might have some influence into human minds or behavior. But so the whale, they would say, God can control this whale, but he couldn't make Jonah do anything. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know that Jonah was going to go to Tarshish beforehand. Mm-hmm. Until he actually got on that ship and went.
So I'm seeing a lot of attacks on omniscience there, as far as God not knowing those things. So and obviously they're not saying God's omnipotent either if they truly knew what it meant. So very good. That's open theism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Go to our next one, man.
So the next one we had on here is, I think there's probably a more formal name for it, and I don't know what it is.
This one will work.
And I think this is going to be your official Arminian view, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. I think this is this is a book I've touted before. Is Arminian Theology by Greg Olson. Mm-hmm. Was very helpful for me and kind of differentiating.
If you're looking for a great Arminian stance, Greg Olson's a good one.
Yeah, my understanding is he's kind of the premier classical Arminian right now. Yeah. If you want to read books for that, and this is where he would come down on this, I believe, and that it's so when you're talking about salvation, that God doesn't predestine individuals; he predestines a group, and that group is those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The implication being, it didn't have to be that group that he picked; he could have picked. The people that get into heaven are the ones that can do a backflip. The people that get into heaven are the ones that can drive by the convenience store and not.
Oh no! Get pop. Yeah. I'm in trouble.
So yeah. Thankfully, all glory to our God. That is not what He has done. Otherwise, me and Tyler would be in trouble.
We'd be in trouble. Yeah.
Thank you, God.
So, but go ahead.
Yeah. Right, so instead of. Salvation being personal in this instance, it's going to be corporate, that God is picking a specific group, and everyone within that group is freely choosing to be a part of that group.
So if that's the Arminian, what is the group? If that's the Arminian stance, it's the group, anybody who comes, according to them, anyone who comes to faith.
Anybody who has faith,
Anybody who puts their faith in Christ becomes a part of that group, and that group is the predestined elect group.
Right, and God predestines that group before. When God is setting up the world, he says, you know what, I'm going to bring everybody to heaven that decides to do this.
Okay.
Now, you're still going to have problems with this, at least in my experience. Obviously, this would not be one I would agree with. Mm-hmm. And when I've talked with people that do, I'm a poker. I love
poke the bear.
Tyler knows this. I poke the bejeebers out of Tyler. So I like to poke. I like to ask questions because consistency is very important for me in theology. When I have talked with people in the past, now I have not talked with the premier, eminent people that would expound this and have wrote written books and things like that.
Sure.
So I'm not saying I have taken on the best that minds have to offer, but when I have talked with people about this, eventually it comes back to, well, yeah, God knew both of these. God knew who was going to go to heaven, who was going to go to hell before before the world was created, for the most part. And so it kind of, as you really start picking at that, this is a hard stance to hold on to and be consistent. You kind of start sliding either back toward the reform view, or what I would say is, if you're talking just in that instance, not with the rest of the Bible in mind, but just in that instance, you start sliding more towards open theism in order to try to be more consistent. You're going to get pulled one way or the other.
Trying to be consistent with what?
What God knows, how he knows it, and what he has the power to do about it.
Okay. So you're saying this view is not consistent. So if someone is saying they know the future, that God has a divine decree to hold this view, they're not being consistent.
Yeah, I would say that this view is inconsistent, and for the most part, I think that that can be shown. At least in my experience, when I have been talking with people, back when I was searching for answers on this, I really looked hard at this. And one, I don't think this is what the Bible says. I don't think it says. I think it's very easy to find areas where it's talking about God is ordaining individuals. Romans 9, again, good place to go for that. And that when you're talking about that God, by the very nature of, having a, if you're going to talk about corporate election, it's made up of individuals, and so he's still using those individuals. I don't know if I'm saying it right exactly. It's much easier to, when you have somebody that's, saying, hey, this is what I believe, and then kind of having a back and forth that way.
Yeah, and again, this is you're hearing a lunch conversation here, just going back and forth.
But, yeah.
You mentioned Romans 9, but if we go back to Romans 8, there's still, before predestination, there's a foreknowledge. Well, we kind of talk about the order of that a little bit, but
Let's go to the next one. Let's talk about the last one here,
okay, and then we'll go there.
Let's come back to that question.
All right. Okay.
Because some of the definitions we'll have in the next one I think will be helpful for that.
All right. Okay. So without jumping the gun, anything else on group predestination?
Oh, geez, there's probably a lot. I mean, this
for the sake of time.
Yeah. This is this is your Wesleyans, your Arminians. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the general view that they would take. I would say this is probably going to be your largest, for people that have really tried to thought about this and people that, disagree with a, Reformed or Calvinistic perspective, this is going to be the general one that they're going to go with.
I think I would agree with that.
I would say by far the most popular, so.
Sure, yeah, all right.
So our last one, it's been really popular more as of late.
Yeah, we've been wrapped up. This is interesting.
Yeah.
I love this conversation.
The last one's called Molinism.
Molinism!
And it's a big thing if you're into the apologetic circuit, because two big apologetics guys, William Lane Craig, who we talked a little bit about last week, and James White.
Yep.
I think between them, they might have more formal debates with non-believers than anybody else combined. Very big names in apologetics. Now, Dr. William Lane Craig is what's called a Molinist. Dr. James White is, he's going to be more on the Reformed side. And they had... Now, they would both call it a discussion. It wasn't a formal moderated debate, but they were
kind of... It was a good one. We recommend you looking it up
it's,
on YouTube.
Yeah, it's excellent, and they do a good job of showing the differences between the views.
Yeah. So that YouTube, James White versus William Lane Craig on Molinism.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk about Molinism, which is kind of unusual because this isn't one you hear a whole lot.
Is it something that's emerging? Is that what we're seeing?
It's not. I wouldn't say it's emerging. Okay. It's maybe having a resurgence in popularity.
Okay.
So originally, this was... I forgot what his first name is. So
we're going to know the last name.
Yeah, so I always want to say Alfred Molina, but that's Dr. Octopus in the Spider-Man movie. So he is not where the Molinism is from. Yeah, it's a different first name. So he was a Jesuit monk shortly after the Reformation.
So definitely not a new thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's in the 1500s sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically the Pope charged him with finding a way to combat Reformed theology, which was breaking out all over the place. Your Luthers, your Calvins, your Zwinglis, your mm-hmm. Arsenius, you know, those types of guys. Uh-huh. The Pope said, hey, Jesuits, go find a way to knock these guys down a peg. Correct me if I say Alfred Molina because I want to really bad. But.
Doc Hawk.
Yes. Hello, Peter. So what Molina says is that what God does is that God looks down. God can see the choices that every person is going to make. God can control everything but the will. You'll get these alternate worlds. And so the
example, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the example. That's a good example.
Good Marvel. If you're a Marvel fan, out there.
kind of get you an introduction to kind of how to think about it is in Infinity War, Doctor Strange is looking into the future, and he says, "I looked through 14 million different futures," and they said, "Well, how many did we win? One."
One. Right.
And so that's what your Molinists will say is that God. Before this, we would say that God has two types of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So God has his, it's his natural knowledge, mm-hmm. which is what God knows about himself. Mm-hmm. Before there was any creation, when God was the only thing that existed, God had a perfect knowledge of himself and what he can do. After creation, when God decides to create, God has free knowledge. God has complete knowledge over creation. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything about his creation. Mm-hmm. Molina talks about...
Which we agree with, by the way.
Yes, we affirm
those things.
Yeah, both of those two, and you know, all Christians mm-hmm. Would agree with those things. Molina was the first one to posit what's called a middle knowledge. And so this is a knowledge that God has, and it comes from these things. Called subjunctive conditionals. You'll hear this in the debate.
If you're watching the debate,
after these debates, you've got these both sides that are, you know, kind of working through the others and, you know, still trying to say, hey, you know, they're not answering this, and they're mm-hmm. still kind of sniping each other.
Right.
Very interesting if you're into that sort of thing. Yep. So these subjunctive conditionals, and it's basically a choice. So if you woke up today, and you could either choose to wear a red shirt or a blue shirt. Your day will be different depending on what you chose to do. Mm-hmm. And that's just one choice. And there's infinite right. these choices.
You got, it's like two tree branches. I mean, just yeah. goes off.
Yeah. And your Molinist will say that these exist outside of God, that God has knowledge of these subjunctive conditionals, mm-hmm. But they limit what he can do. And they're not caused by God, and they're not caused by human beings. Mm-hmm. And they're they come before his decree in creation.
Divine decree. Right.
That's definitional for them. Mm-hmm. And so what God does is he looks at all these different possible worlds, mm-hmm. and he picks the one world that he doesn't have any he doesn't have any control over what people would do necessarily.
But he's going for a certain outcome.
Yeah. God, you know, God could, if God wants to keep you from drinking a pop on the way home, mm-hmm. he could have it so your brake line comes loose
right.
And you crash your car, and then right. you have to go by ambulance to the hospital, mm-hmm. Thus avoiding an unhealthy Dr. Pepper.
Because that's way better than crashing
yeah.
a car.
And I think the real problem, so there's a lot of problems with this. And again, this could probably be a whole thing by itself, too.
The issue is middle knowledge, listeners. That's where we have, where the issue is here.
Yeah. There's nothing supports this in Scripture.
And you listen to debates, your Molinist will say that it's not explicitly anywhere in Scripture.
Yeah.
This is more of a philosophical construct is really what it is.
Yeah.
Yes, trying to rectify.
Yeah, and that's something they'll... will freely admit to varying degrees depending mm-hmm. on who's talking. Dr. Craig, who's kind of the preeminent Molinist mm-hmm. at this point, very freely was like, well, no, you don't find it in Scripture. It's but it's consistent with Scripture, mm-hmm. And I would disagree strongly with him on that. There would be several areas that I would say there are problems. So one is, these subjunctive conditionals being outside of, being something not coming from God, not coming from man, but they limit God and what he can do. The other is it takes away a lot of freedom from God. So God only gets to make one decision in this, and it's picking this one world.
Because he's got different outcomes to choose, right? I mean, am I understanding correctly?
Yeah.
Is whatever that goal may be, whether the most people saved or the biggest utopia or whatever it is, he's got to choose for that outcome.
Yeah, God says, this is what I want. He only gets one choice, and it's... Yep.
So this is what we're doing.
Yeah. So really limits the sovereignty of God. And I really think that this... I think Molinism is kind of the worst of both worlds.
Sure. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to rectify God's sovereignty and man's free will.
Yeah.
They're trying to rectify, but go ahead and tell them what they're actually doing.
You're like, you're really destroying both.
It seems like you're destroying both.
Because in the Molinist perspective, theoretically, you could choose to do something else. But you that would be a different world. That would be a different you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't choose. Choose to do anything different because God has already chosen the world that would be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not free will. Free will is important to want it to be.
Right.
And God's not really sovereign in this.
Right.
Because so there's middle, lots of limits.
And this middle knowledge is outside of Him. I mean, it's outside of His decree. It's outside of His He created. So there's something that. If I'm understanding, this middle knowledge would have existed before divine decree, right?
Is that yes? And yes. So by definition.
By definition. So with what we see in Scripture, that just can't be possible.
Right. And so and by definition too. So some of the verses of Molinists might go to sometimes is when David's talking to who's he? You remember he's talking to?
He talked to a lot of people.
Okay. Well. Sorry, I thought you were with me here. So he's in a city, and he says, if I go to the city...
If I go attack or...
You go to the city, we'll all attack there.
Right, yes.
And it's a prophet or somebody, mm-hmm. and they says, he's inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord says, if you go here, Saul will attack.
Right.
And so he doesn't go there. And they're saying, oh, look, this is one of those subjunctive conditionals.
Right.
Well, it's not, because this is post-decree. Mm-hmm. And so by definition, this is not middle knowledge.
Right, absolutely.
That's part of God's free knowledge.
It seemed to be a pretty easy one to deconstruct biblically pretty quickly. It has shocked me the amount of support that it gets, I guess.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it. So sure. I had a Molinist phase.
You did. I
thought I was super smart. I was like, oh, I did something smart. Like, these other guys, they don't get it, but I understand how it is. And then come to find out, this was something somebody had figured out 1,500 years ago, and it's not biblical. And I was great.
And you missed Ecclesiastes, didn't you? I mean, there's
nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. Not even you. You are a brilliant man, Dr. Bodie Boatface, but even you can't come up with anything new. So we went up regardless.
Definitely
to this,
not. So. There's Mr. Sweetie Pie over there again.
Oh yeah, but that is so interesting, and that goes to our foreknowledge, right? We talked a little bit about foreknowledge. Now we were talking earlier; it kind of differs. Foreknowledge being more of
So that going back to our golden chain.
Yes.
And you're asking about for those whom he foreknew.
Foreknew
he also predestined.
Right.
I would say that's because of that's his free knowledge it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
God foreknows that because he has an intimate and complete understanding of his creation.
Mm-hmm.
That he knew you and loved you before the world was formed and before you were even there.
Uh-huh.
And so after that comes the predestination.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that he, the question is, how can God know what you will do before you exist?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many things that are going to factor into who you are and the decisions you make,
mm-hmm.
where you're born, who your parents are, your DNA,
mm-hmm.
Lots of choices, where you go to school. All of these things are going to factor into how you make decisions,
mm-hmm.
and how can God have any of those plans unless he is sovereign over those things.
Yeah, absolutely, right. And how can he do that? Nothing's outside his divine decree, so that's what we keep going back to.
Yeah, so. Man, we're at 73 minutes, and I don't
feel... I feel like we just started. Yeah, I feel like I just hit the record button like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. If you're grumbly, you know, if you do have some strong stances on stuff like, you know, me especially, that you would disagree with, I hear you.
And I think we're going to poke the bear a little bit more next week, you know, with the election.
Yeah. But yeah, we know we haven't scratched the surface. I mean, we could probably do a whole thing on each one of those other views.
Yeah. As we wrap, just the main things we want you to take away from this is God absolutely knows the future, and He knows it because He has a divine decree. He has ordained everything. He's sovereign, and everything is by His providence. He sustains when He sustains. He takes away when He takes away, and it's all part of His plan. He's not calling audibles. He's not surprised by anything that's happening, regardless of what's in your life. Even the terrible things, evils, and hardships, He's using that for His purpose and His good. That's what we want you to come away with today.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something that you as a Christian, if you're not sure, and even if you are, maybe, I mean, you should wrestle with this. Mm-hmm. You should talk to people who have, who believe different things, and you should compare it against God's word.
Uh-huh.
I always say, and I'll probably say this like every episode we have, I like to go to the very best proponents of every view, and pit them against the best proponents of other views. Mm-hmm. And that's how I like to, and then compare that with the Bible.
Right.
The
critical step there, isn't it?
Yeah, how does what this person's saying match up with the Bible? And how does what this person's saying match up with the Bible? Are they making a good positive case? And are they able to answer the objections against them?
Yeah.
I think that's how you go about wrestling with questions like these.
Absolutely.
And this, it's an important question.
It is. In Acts, the Berean people, right? Mm-hmm. Paul is talking to them. They don't just take his word, right? They go back to Scripture, and they're making sure what he is saying is lining up with Scripture.
Yeah.
We all need to be Bereans. That's a great, great thing for us. So,
yeah.
Brad, I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your desire to be consistent with your theology and with Scripture. And I think there's a lot of good things today.
Yeah. And I appreciate your willingness to sit down and talk about it. And, I hope this is useful to... you as well as our listeners.
Right.
Thanks for being so sweet tonight too.
Thank you. and thank you for supporting us in this. We're really encouraged by that. If you have questions, put them on there. If you've got comments, put them on there. You'll hear at the end of this, we've got our outro. It's got email addresses on there. If there's something that you don't want it to be public for anybody to see, send us a private email, and we'd love to address anything that way. And
sure, we're dying for you guys to get more interactive.
We welcome it.
We want you to come up with fun nicknames for me and ask theological questions, and let us know what you want to hear, how we can be more useful to you, how we can be Bereans for you to make you help you to grow in your faith, love God better, and be better able to share the gospel with
absolutely.
People.
And we want you to know also that we want to be good representatives of our church here at First Southern Baptist Church, too.
Yes.
This is a place where we want to be true to Scripture. We want to be pleasing to God. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us. We'd love for you to be a part of that. So, and meet Pastor Greg. We need to get him on. We've got a 2-microphone limit here, but we're gonna upgrade. We're gonna do some upgrades.
I think it'd be fun to get some debates sometime.
Get some debates, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's one-sided when I'll just, throw my stuff out there and you're too sweet to really come at me, so.
I think we got a good system going on, man. I think it's good.
I love it. These are my favorite days of the week.
Yeah, so. And I'll fire back some more next week. We've got election coming up, so we'll go back and forth next week on some of those things. So be looking out for that. God loves you. We love you. We are going to sign off because we've reached the 77-minute mark, and it's been good being with you guys. If you need anything, let us know. We're praying for you.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks for hanging with us. Have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
Love you guys.
Yeah, we do. Blessings. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make Him known.
Blessings.